Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour this evening. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'm coming to you live tonight, as I always do, from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course, simulcasting on the World Wide Web to an audience that spans the globe at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Busy show tonight. Keith Alexander with me. During the first hour, we covered quite a few different topics and stories. Second hour, joined by Nathaniel Strickland and Neil Desperandum of faithandheritage.com. And then, of course, you just heard from Political Cesspool co-host Bill Rowland as he offered you his take on the attacks in Norway, and even more importantly, perhaps, the response that those attacks are generating from the governmental powers that be. It just so happens that that story is a great precursor into that which Political Cesspool co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller had planned for you this evening. This is one of those nights where it looks about like just every member of the Political Cesspool staff is going to be making an appearance, except for Winston Smith, who, as you know, or perhaps you don't, we have mentioned it a couple of times, Winston Smith struggling with his hearing right now. He's always had poor hearing. Right now he is waiting, awaiting cochlear implants to restore his degenerated hearing, and hopefully he'll be back in shipshape soon and back on the broadcast. Until then, he is, of course, blogging for us and writing great articles at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Anyway, I originally had not planned to cover the bombing in Norway, just for, you know, the basic reason I can't follow everything. I don't know everything. I can't read every news story, and despite that one being a pretty big one, it just I hadn't had time to get to it this week. But Bill was more than well prepared for it, and so he brought it to the show, and it kind of scrubbed a few things I had intended to talk about originally during that last 30-minute set. But that's fine, because as I said, it dovetails right into what Eddie was talking about. And Eddie, you know, for years, it seems as though middle-class white Americans are being painted as those most likely to be so-called domestic terrorists. Now, we know that's just a bunch of baloney. I mean, we remember the memo a couple of years ago that said, you know, law enforcement officers should be very suspicious of anyone driving around with a Ron Paul bumper sticker. You know, the MIAC report, right. And now we've got a brand new Department of Homeland Security video campaign or, you know, commercial advertising set that is warning, you know, everyone, if they see something, say something, you know, pay very close attention to your neighbors. They could be terrorists, particularly if they're white. So basically, the people who are least likely to commit crimes by all hard statistics and facts are being painted as those most likely to do so, particularly heinous crimes, acts of terrorism, by you know, the media and some governmental agencies. You know, so basically they are painting as potential terrorists who? People who work for a living, people who have families, people who go to church and pay their taxes, white middle-class Americans. These are the people, Eddie, that, you know, they're being told are the bad guys. And as Bill mentioned, you know, this is certainly counterintuitive and goes against all facts when it comes to crime and statistics.
James, you know what? Like you say, I didn't even know we were going to talk about this thing that happened over there in Oslo today. But you know what? It doesn't take me by surprise. Like I was telling James, the only thing that really, I guess, surprised me is this event didn't happen in the United States. All the news, all the intel I get from all the people that I follow all the time, we've been talking about this forever. You know, it's common knowledge in people in my group that Obama has been told, James, by all his followers, his top advisors, that we need another Oklahoma City. We need another Twin Towers in order to get his policies through, specifically his foreign policies and his homeland security and his TSA goons getting that program through. because, see, white people are starting to buck and fight that stuff. We're going to try to cover that tonight. We have a fella coming on tonight. I don't want to say too much without Lee, because we have a fella by the name of Lee Cochran who's done a lot of research on this, a lot more than I have. And I'd like to say a little bit about Lee. He's one of these guys, I always think about it. He's one of the guys I think about. This may sound weird. When I go up to Shiloh and I see these mass graves where they bury these Confederate soldiers just like dogs, you know, they have probably, 50, 100, who knows, maybe 1,000 soldiers buried in one grave. You never hear about them. You know, we always hear, and you know, I love and respect, you know, Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, you know, and Nathan Bedford Forrest. No one admires them more than myself, but there was thousands of guys that we never heard of that fought in the trenches. Without them, without their ultimate sacrifice, we could have never got anywhere. Well, Lee is one of those type of guys. He's got a lot of information tonight he's going to bring to us, and I'd just like to let you people know the kind of guy who's coming on. Even though you've probably never heard of him, he is a fireplug. He is a pillar in about every organization around that I know. He is a pillar in the Campaign for Liberty that was started by Ron Paul. He is a charter member of Oath Keepers. He is one of the original members, probably in Memphis, that I know of, you know, in modern times, of the John Birch Society. He's in the Libertarian meeting. And the thing about Lee, he goes out on the street and he exercises his First Amendment rights. They go out and they hand out pamphlets and things like that in the face of adversity. But everything we're going to talk about ties in tonight to what this happened in Oslo. I guarantee you 100% it was a false flag attack, just like the Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag that got us in the Vietnam War. There was no such thing as the Gulf of Tonkin. It never happened. But yet it got the United States into the longest, bloodiest war we've had, you know, in many, many years. The sinking of the battleship Havana, another proven false flag attack to get us in the war with Spain, you know, with the Rough Riders in 1898. The sinking of the battleship Lusitania, another false flag attack, you know, designed to get us in the First World War. Oklahoma City, another false flag attack. It's been exposed, people. It was done by the United States government. It was blamed on all these other patsies that really, they were just mind-numb robots. They were Manchurian candidates. Like Johnny Gosch was a Manchurian candidate. The Reichstag fire. I mean, need I go on and on and on and on? The Waco fire. Out here in Waco, when the government went in order to protect all the women and children, they had to kill them and burn them. Well, folks, we got to get ready to go to just a break in a minute. We're going to bring Lee on, and we're going to get into more what we're talking about the TSA, and we're going to tie it into this Oslo crap.
Very well put, Eddie. Put like the common man. We're going to tie it into the Oslo crap when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody. The Political Cesspool, James Edwards here with you as always, co-hosting this hour, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, continuing on with that which Bill Rowland started in the last hour. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. Coming right back at you in just a second.
Don't
stay tuned.
Away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program. James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller in studio with you this Saturday evening, July 23rd. And now I'm going to actually turn the entire show over to Eddie. And he's going to be interviewing a special guest, a friend of his, a local activist here in Memphis. Eddie, tell the fans more about your guest interview, this segment, and let them know why we're doing it.
Okay. You know, like I told about Lee. Lee, you there, fella?
Oh, yes.
Yo, okay, fella. Lee, I introduced you earlier, and I've told about, you know, all the qualifications you have. Matter of fact, I compared you to, like, the unknown soldiers in Shiloh. You know, you're in the trenches. We don't hear about the little guy, but you've been out on the street. Now, what I'd like to do, Lee, is I would like to have you start telling about what happened to you and your people on July 4th when you were trying to do you exercise your First Amendment right on Independence Day of no other of all things, Independence Day. You were trying to be a patriot, for God's sakes. And I know you know, but we have to keep this, you know, really tame, because you know, the ADL and SPLC, they were waiting for us to get out of line any at all. And so I know I can trust you to keep it civil. So okay. Go ahead, Lee, and tell your story. Tell me exactly what happened to you on Independence Day and your people. And go ahead, fella.
Okay, just me and a couple of my friends. We decided, you know, America needed to be informed about, you know, what's going on, and they weren't getting it from the mainstream media. And we just decided to go up there on Poplar and Highland. And just, you know, we had an American flag and a Tennessee flag, and we had we did post signs on the street signs, but we had other signs that says, you know, ban the TSA and Constitution and Bill of Rights. And then we were there for 2 or 3 hours, and then, well, we were surrounded by about 6 or 7 or 8 police cars the first time. And then an hour later, we were surrounded by 6 or 7 police cars, and eventually I had to say, well, I'm going to have to take you to court if y'all don't leave us alone.
So you did tell them that you would take them to court. Now, didn't they ask you for a permit or sometime at once, Lee?
Oh, yeah, the first time they came, they said, do we have a permit? And I said no, and I told them, do you have a Bill of Rights? I mean, have you read the Bill of Rights? And they said, no, the city ordinance trumped the Bill of Rights here in our city, because, you know, that's what they inferred.
He said that the city ordinance actually told you that the city ordinance trumps the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights. What an ignoramus. You know, Lee, you and I have talked about before the people they're hiring on the police departments nowadays. If they have an IQ much above 90, they don't hire them anymore. They're getting these poor innocent guys back in Iraq. And, you know, I feel sorry for these guys in Iraq, Lee, because most of them, they're young and dumb, they're ignorant, and they think they're fighting for their country. But you, Lee, you and I know, we both know, but they're over there, you know, fighting to make the world safe for Israel and to make the world safe for the international bankers and to smuggle the opium in from Afghanistan. And that's why Pat Tillman got killed. But what did they say when, Lee, tell them about what you said. Well, go ahead, Lee, finish telling the story. I'm butting in too much, fella.
I said, they had 2 or 3 other people. I said, okay, let's just take down, you know, the signs and leave. But then this other officer said, no, all they have to do is just take down the signs on the street post, and they can just keep their hand signs and the ground signs, and they can stay there. And so I said, okay, then. Everybody left. But then an hour later, they came back without that pro-freedom officer, and they were saying, well, we just want to know what literature you're passing out, you know. And we said, you know, what we're protesting, even though we had signs all over the place. And we gave them the American Free Press and Campaign for Liberty.
Oh, give them the American Free Press. God forbid you gave that. Well, let me ask you this. You told me something earlier. I hope I'm not getting you off balance.
No.
But the police actually stopped traffic on one of the busiest intersections in Memphis, if I've got my story straight, at Poplar and Highland, no doubt, and kind of insinuated that you guys were disturbing the peace. Is that right? Tell us more about that, Lee.
Well, they had at least 4 police cars. See, we're at the corner there in front of that record store, and they had at least, I think, 2 police cars on one corner and another police car, and they had 3 police cars behind us. And
wow.
we were sort of on, there was a little hill behind that corner so they could, you know, surround us.
And now, Lee, you told me earlier, now, did they say anything? Has anybody called a complainant or anything? Because from what I get from you, you had a real positive response. And I've gotten mostly positive response in my day, back when I do my little protest.
Yeah, we had at least 10 to 1 positive responses. They were hawking, and we had, you know, a depopulation, you first. And we had an American flag and a Tennessee. I was walking the Tennessee state flag and the American flag, and we were even wearing Davy Crockett coonskin hats.
Well, Lee, that's where you messed up. See, you had the Lee, you messed up, fella. See, you think that you're still thinking that you live in a free republic, you know, the United States of America, but we're no longer there. We're going into a police state. Lee, I'd like to say one more time, I'd like to say how much I admire you, because I know the people, you know, I know the Mary Hills of the world who are, you know, run the Campaign for Liberty. You know, I know the Les Hatleys for the, you know, the Oath Keepers. Matter of fact, I'm a charter member of Oath Keepers myself here in Tennessee. But you know what? You're one of the few people that I know that takes the streets. And Lee, I kind of like to shift right now and go to what we talked about earlier about the Homeland Security in the TSA, and how they see the Homeland Security under Janet Napolitano, as you and I have talked about. They say, and they've said it now, it's not us saying this. They said that what we're seeing in the airports with the goons frisking the you know, the young ladies, and, you know, actually fondling them and giving them, you know, radiation that's twice as much as you get in the X-ray. Now, Lee, we've heard them say that they're going to bring these same measures in the airport. They're going to bring them to the malls. They're going to bring them to high school graduations. I know where that happened in Arkansas. And they said they're going to start coming out on the street and hassling people on the street. And, Lee, I think that's exactly what happened to you and your guys on July 4th. What do you say about that, fella?
Well, I don't know. Well, I guess the police officer were just doing their job, but their supervisor, he must have been trying to get promoted to the TSA evil goon squad.
Well, that's exactly what they are. You know, sometimes I just wake up and I can't believe that this kind of stuff is going on in America. You know, Lee, I was talking about how this all ties in with this Oslo thing. I know you run in the same circles I do. Dr. Monteith and, you know, the Power Hour and even some of those guests that own Alex Jones, we've been talking about a false flag attack for a long time. And you can back me up on this, Lee. If I make a mistake, you let me know. But the chief advisors to Obama, they've told him that, you know, his popularity is an all-time record low. The popularity of Congress is an all-time record low. I mean, everybody knows that the people in Congress, they're a bunch of pedophiles, scum. I mean, they have the worst traffic records, the worst police records, you know. Okay. Well, Lee, it looks like we're getting ready to go to break in just a minute, fella. I want you to hang on. And when we come back, I want you to remind me to take back up on I want to get back to false flag attacks, Lee. I don't want to forget and have false flags are tied with the Homeland Security. I'm going to turn this thing over to James for a minute. We're getting ready to go to break, folks.
Okay.
All right, folks. The exclusive interview that Eddie the Bombardier Miller is conducting with local Memphis activist Lee Cochran will continue right after these words from our sponsors. In the meantime, don't forget to check out all of the great news stories that we have featured for you this evening and every evening at thepoliticalcesspool.org. As I said before, Bill called in tonight and almost mandated that we cover the Oslo, Norway bombing. I had intended to cover a lot of these stories on the air tonight. Time will not permit, so you're going to have to read them yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've got to take a break, folks. James Edwards and the Bombardier, Eddie Miller, back with you right after these words from our sponsors on the Liberty News Radio Network.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then
don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Peggy Sue. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program here at WLRM Studios this evening in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network. And Eddie the Bombardier Miller is in studio with me for this third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast. Of course, Eddie is now conducting an interview with fellow Memphis area activist Lee Cochran, and we're talking about some subject matter that goes hand in hand with some of the topics of conversation that I was holding with Bill Rowland at the end of the second hour, Eddie. And with that being said, back over to you.
Well, yeah, one of our good listeners, and I certainly appreciate one of our listeners typing, sending in. I made a mistake, as in the Havana Harbor in 1898, it was these battleship Maine, excuse me, people, that was blown up by the United States government. The battleship Maine was blown up in Havana Harbor to get us into the war with Spain. That was a false flag attack. Now, I'm going to get back to Lee on these false flag attacks, tying it all in. Lee, you know, we were talking earlier, the TSA, which comes under, you know, Homeland Security, covers them.
Mm-hmm.
For years, they've been saying, Lee, that starting with the MIAC report, even before the MIAC report, that they've got to get, you know, we've got to come down on constitutionalists, on Christians, people that are, you know, that believe in the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, that believe in the Bible. And it's what they've done. They've used, they try to get rid of us. That's the reason the Murrah Trade Center building was blown up in Oklahoma City by Bill Clinton and company. And they blame that on the militia. And that the militia took a big hit then. That the World Trade Center was destroyed. Everybody in our circles know that was an inside job. The 14 of the so-called 19 pilots were not Iraqis. They were from Saudi Arabia, for God's sakes. And they were trained people. These people were trained on military bases in the United States. But, Lee, I know you know you've heard about the Gulf of Tonkin, how they got us into Vietnam, and you know the battleship Maine I just mentioned, the Oklahoma City, it goes on and on, and even Johnny Gosch, who was turned into a Manchurian candidate. What do you think about that, Lee? I believe that what they've done, and I think that hooks up perfectly with Oslo, what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
Our government says we need another Twin Towers. They've told Obama we need another Oklahoma City in order to bolster his ratings, because you know most Americans, Lee, are dumb. Bless their heart. I mean, all you got to do, you know, you could take it. I believe you could take a chainsaw and cut up a little baby. And as long as you wrapped his bloody drippings up in an American flag, they'll jump to man. They'll salute the flag and make a damn what happens. They're going to salute that friggin' flag, and they're going to feed their kids as cannon fodder to the war. But Lee, I think what happened was, and you know, is I believe I'm convinced that what you saw on Independence Day was the beginning of the symptoms of the American police forces being federalized under Homeland Security. I want you to take over. I want you to take over from there, Lee.
Okay, well, yeah, they've been militarizing this for a long time. And in case your listeners didn't know, Norway had just pulled out of the NATO-American war of aggression against Libya. So they're sort of, they're punishing them for going against the power elite of Anglo-America, Europe, and everything.
That's a great, great point, Lee. See, I didn't know that. That's why I wanted you to come on. Keep up with that point, Lee. That's a great point. I'm going to let James know about that in the break. Keep it up, fella.
Okay. But, it's really wars of aggression disguised as humanitarian. And then we have President Obama. He's just a puppet of the power elite, saying that he has to take orders from the U.N., and not the U.S. You know, we need to take, you know, constructive action. I think both parties at the top are bought off, too. You could do research on the Internet.
You're right, Lee.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, Sarah Palin was picked by the globalists. Rick Perry is a globalist. He's just a deceiver. And, you know, we're catching on to all these political tricks, and they're going to run out of people to try to out-trick us, you know. And they're going to have to, you know, elect Ron Paul instead. So.
You know, you're talking about Rick Perry. I mean, he's in the CFR, for God's sakes. He's a Bilderberger. I mean, and all our people that run up our circles talk about them being, by being a good conservative. But, Lee, the point before we're going to go in a minute because we're coming up on a break. I appreciate you coming on. Now, did you say that Oslo, that Norway, were they trying to pull out of NATO or are they just trying to get out of the Libyan action?
That Libya thing. I meant the Libya thing. Yeah.
Okay, you probably said that. My hearing is not that great, you know.
My wife's been screaming at me too much lately. at least that NATO, they're trying, the NATO attack on Libya, but they're still in NATO, I think.
Okay, I got you. Well, Lee, we're going to wrap this up. The main point I wanted us to get into today was the point that what we saw on Independence Day with you and your people. It was the federalization of the police, where you dare, you can't say anything about the government, no criticism of the government whatsoever. They want the government, they want mind numb robots that don't think for themselves. They don't want people participating in civics anymore. In fact, they don't even have civic classes at school anymore. They don't want people participating in their election in the political process. They want a bunch of idiots that can just, you know, with an IQ of 70, that can join up to fight the godless communist over here in Iraq, you know, Joe Sixpack. They don't want anybody that can think, you know. I would say, you know, join the United States Army and fight for the New World Order, or join the militia and fight, you know, and protect your state. Well, Lee, with that, I'm going to let you go, fella. Okay. It's been great having you come on. And once again, I would like to salute you again. I have much more respect for you than I do any leader of the Republicans or the Democrats or the C4L or their Oath Keepers or anybody, because you get out on the street and you do it. You've got the battle scars to show up, my man. It's not the first time that you've had confrontations with the police state. And with that, Lee, I'm going to let you go, guy. God bless you. And listen, we got to get together next week and talk about what we're going to do in the future. Okay, fella?
Oh, okay. Okay. Thanks, Eddie.
God bless you, fella. Bye. Guys, we're getting ready to go. I'm really glad that we got Lee come on. I'm getting ready to turn you back over to James in a minute, because me and James got some other stuff we want to do. And believe it or not, I know we're going to get old James back in here and see what he has to say about this whole thing. Here you go, James.
Well, you know, actually, Eddie has spelled me for a couple of minutes here, which is a rarity during our weekly broadcast, and had the opportunity to catch up on a couple of long overdue emails while Eddie was handling the affairs here in the cesspool. But, you know, again, I know what Lee Cochran was going to be on to talk about. I mean, this is a God-fearing, you know, American man, a God-fearing, pays his taxes, works for a living. He cares about the Constitution enough to take time out and go downtown and march with three or four people with what do their signs say, Eddie? Get back to the Constitution. A sign that says "Get back to the Constitution," and you know, think things of that nature, and they get hassled. You know, close the borders. Something that, you know, 90%+ of legal Americans are in favor of, you know. And so this guy loves his country, a family man, and he goes down and he walks around on a public sidewalk, you know, on a street, carrying these signs, and he gets hassled by the police. Now, you know, we're all law and order every time. That's us. It goes without saying. You know, and we salute, you know, law enforcement. What we're worried about is law enforcement getting out of control. We're not worried about our people getting out of control, at least no one, you know, here in the cesspool or anybody that we have any, you know, close associations with. We just want to make sure that the law enforcement officials themselves adhere to the rule of law. And so, you know, obviously to go down there with a very mild sign, I mean, no matter what the sign said, you know, he's got the freedom of speech to walk around with it. But, you know, obviously with something as benign as "Get back to the Constitution," I mean, there should be no reason that they be hassled by anyone, much less the police, who are there to ensure that they have that right. So pretty interesting story here that Eddie dug up in Memphis. And of course, I'm sure, you know, people have very similar stories to tell across the country as, you know, we face a very disturbing scenario during which, you know, these people who love their country are being targeted. Quick call before we go to break from Rocky in Florida, one of our regulars. Rocky, how are you?
Just fine. Just fine. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling back in, and thanks for being so patient with us there.
Oh, cool. No problem. I actually prefer to listen to it from my phone because there's no lag, you know?
That's right. That's right. Little secret of commercial talk radio, folks. What you're hearing on the local stations is actually a minute or so behind what's actually going on.
Right. I know we have very little time left. I'll try to get through this as fast as I can. Thanks for posting the Otis Mathis story again. That was hilarious, by all means.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, you know, Rocky called in last week on the show and said, you know, you got to talk about Otis Mathis again, which was, of course, the 55-year-old young man who got caught, you know, well, we can't even really say what he was doing on the air in front of other colleagues. Rocky, hang on a second, buddy. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come right back to you and let you make your point. Stay tuned, everybody. We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out.
place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Believable. But the final segment of the night is now upon us. I looked at the clock and I was like, okay, what do you want to cover, Eddie? During this last commercial break, I asked, what do you want to cover, Eddie, over the course of the last two segments? And then I looked at the clock. Oh, well, scratch that. What do you want to cover during the last segment? Time always flies when we're having fun here at the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I mentioned, I'm going to plug it one more time, lots of great stories featured on our website tonight that we just did not have the time to get to during the course of tonight's live show. So go and check them out at your own pace at thepoliticalcesspool.org. As you know, to tide over our rabid fans, we have a couple of interesting stories posted to our website fresh every day, and that carries you through the week until you can be back here with us live on Saturday night. Winston Smith, a couple of very good articles, one which is entitled Muslims in Australia Demand That Australians Obey Islamic Law, and his other one is one that we're going to cover here in the last segment, Mexican Drug Gangs Better Armed Thanks to Barack Obama. Very interesting story. We're going to get to that. But first, back to Rocky in Florida. Rocky, what's on your mind?
Okay, quick thing. Well, you know, one thing that's disturbing me over the years is that whatever's being taught in our schools, really you can't, you know, just assume that they're telling you the truth. You can't really believe what they say. You know, sometimes I adhere to the opposite of that. Well, one complaint I'm having was how the schools, at a very young age, they're teaching their kids what the AIDS virus is. And the way they're teaching it is they always say this, and it's like the magical word. They say HIV is not the same as AIDS. It only causes AIDS. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's You just contradicted yourself there, you know? And the other problem is, regardless of whether you have HIV or AIDS, well, first off, you have something that causes AIDS, which is bad enough, but either way, you're pretty much messed, you know? It's like, what can I say?
Well, yeah, Rocky, I mean, and I want to get back to the first point you made. With regard to schools, particularly public schools in major metropolitan areas, unless it's a subject like math, where they can't insert any propaganda, math is just simply numbers, and you know, you can't have any bias there. But if it's something that they can skew to a certain viewpoint, anything historical, even now matters of science, you can almost bet. You know, I think it would be wise to just assume that they are not, you know, teaching you correctly. And, you know, they might make a mistake every now and then and get it right. But, you know, I would tell kids, you know, do what you got to do to pass the test. It's not, you know, it serves a fourth grader, you know, no good to try to haggle with the teacher about, you know, Harriet Tubman or whomever, you know, if they're trying to make, you know,
right, heroes definitely.
Out of, you know, go in there and pass the test. But, you know, all parents should compliment their children's education at home, if they can't homeschool to begin with.
Right. Well, that's all I had.
Well, thanks so much for the call and for yet another astute observation. Rocky in Florida, our good friend. Thank you, my friend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, last story of the night. The Barack Obama, Eric Holder justice system has put over 2,000 guns, many of them assault rifles, into the hands of violent Mexican drug gangs. Their explanation is that they wanted to trace the flow of these weapons, Eddie, in order to figure out the structure of the drug cartels. Such information, they say, will help to dismantle the cartels. Okay, as Winston... Very good article. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but as Winston writes, giving thousands of assault rifles to violent Mexican drug gangs to try to figure out how the gangs are organized is like trying to figure out the framing of a house by infesting it with termites and listening for them with a stethoscope. I mean, they, that's Winston. You know, so again, the Justice Department, you know, we're talking about, we've been talking about it for the last hour now, you know, this is the same group of people who are hassling people like Lee Cochran. They're hassling people like Lee Cochran for walking around a street corner with a sign that says "Get back to the Constitution, secure the border." Hassling, 95-year-old cancer-stricken patients, taking off their Depends and stuff. The same people who are doing all that are putting, purposefully, mind you, putting 2,000 guns into the hands of drug gangs to try and figure out the flow of the weapons to see how the drug cartels were organized. Eddie, what's really in play here?
Well, I'll tell you, James, first of all, it's probably 2,000 a day. My figures that I've got that are pretty reliable are up in probably 50,000 to 75,000, and that includes fully automatic M79 machine guns, grenade launchers, anything that the United States Army has, probably except the M1 Abrams tank. And the reason they're doing that is, what a ridiculous story. Winston hit it right on the head with that story, folks. Trying to figure out the flow of drugs and stuff. The reason they're doing that is because, and it's been admitted by Hillary Clinton, they take these guns and they like them where they can be traced back to the United States. And so, and everybody knows that with all this hellish crime we have on the Mexican border, it's an all-out war down there. The Mexican army and the federales have been coming up across the border. I was reading an article right here just a minute during the break called Battle at the Border, the War Feud Discussion in Washington. And it talks about how we have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. By the way, this was the article came out in 2005, but it's more timely now than ever. General Peter Pace, vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said that Hamas had joined Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda in the triple frontier zone in Latin America, where the borders of Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay converge, with all the terrorist groups. Well, what they want to do, they're trying to get rid of the Second Amendment every way they can. And if they can have all this violence down here on the border and have it blamed on the United States gun makers, well, then they can say, well, folks, we have tried everything we can. We've tried registering guns. We tried having people be fingerprinted and everything. It just hadn't worked. We're just going to have to totally outlaw guns. All you American people, all you citizens, law-abiding citizens, you're going to have to turn in your guns. And that way, your wonderful government is going to protect you. That's what's behind all this. Government taking the guns down there. It's another false flag attack. It's another one of these Hegelian dialectics, where you create a problem with the big drug war down there, which didn't exist 20 years ago, and then you supply the solution. People cry out on the border, we're being killed, we're having border patrol agents killed. I mean, crap, the Mexican army's been coming up. We talked about this last June with Sheriff Paul Bebeau, the Mexican
your good friend, Eddie.
Our good friend, the Mexican, they were the guy who was fighting the drug war lords tooth and nail down there, but he couldn't come back on our show because he was terrorized and being called a terrorist. But they bring these, the Mexican army and the federales have been coming 75 and 100 miles back up into the United States, and they don't care. And people, I hear these people at church, where I go to church, the Baptist church, and they talk about how wonderful the Republicans are and everything. Well, George Bush went down there, when he was still in office, and he met down there with Vicente Fox, and he was the president of Mexico, and what they did, James, they had a de facto amnesty, instead of trying to tighten the border. I hate to kick a dead horse, but here we go back to the border being wide open. We're trying to disarm American citizens. Anybody and everybody that wants to come across the border can. In this article over here, it talked about like 90% of the murder warrants in California and in Arizona are putting out on illegal aliens. 65% of all the violent criminals in the prisons in the Southwest are from illegal aliens. And we have these people like my dunderhead's cousin, my marriage, wanting to bring him in over here in the United States. And he said, as long as they're peaceable and as long as they want to come to this country right here, and do good. Well, they're not doing good. And the whole reason that they've tried to, take these guns down there ties in perfectly with all these other false flag attacks. That's the whole thing behind it. But people, We've got to seal our borders. I don't know how we're going to do it. I have no clue how we can do it. Putting pressure on our congressmen or our senators, it seems like it hadn't worked so far. But we have to, before we can have a hope, we do have to seal our borders. And we need to go back to like General Eisenhower. I was no fan of the President Eisenhower, God knows. But the one thing he did do that I'm familiar with, the greatest thing he did is when he had Operation Wetback, when they had a mass sweep, they put a dragnet over the United States and rounded up, many, many illegal aliens and took them back to Mexico. And a lot of them, a lot of the Mexicans, when they got the word that they were being rounded up, he didn't have to round them up because they beat a path back to Mexico themselves. But, folks, we're getting ready to come on from a break right now. And so, we're coming up on the end of the show, folks. Hey, well, it is a break until next week.
That's true.
So, listen, folks, I'm going to turn you back over to the man himself right here, and he's going to finish it up for you.
Hey, thank you, Eddie, for your contributions to tonight's show. I think it really tied in well with the chart we started to course with Bill Rowland at the end of the second hour. Another great installment of the Political Cesspool Radio program all the way around, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to everybody who made it happen. I'm James Edwards. God bless you. We'll see you next week, everybody. Take care until then.
Tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.